You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
So as we begin the message today, on Wednesday, we had a great midweek. It was really great just to dig through John chapter 12. Unfortunately, I was supposed to record the lesson to put it up on YouTube and the website, but it recorded only 4 seconds of it. Anyway, read John chapter 12, have a great quiet time yourself, please, just so you can be up to date with what we looked at. In John 12, we ended up on Wednesday with this verse, and in verse 35 it says, "Then Jesus said to the crowd, 'You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they are going. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light.' When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them." You know, the world right now needs God's light, doesn't it? More than ever before. And so let us pray, just as we begin the service today and the message today. And I want to pray a prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. Let us pray. Lord, in this time of great darkness, we pray that you will make us instruments of your peace. We pray, God, that where there is hatred, that we will sow love. We pray where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, harmony. Where there is error, truth. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that we may know so much just to seek, but to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born into eternal life. Lord, help us to be the light of this world that you have called us to be. Help us to follow you. Help us to learn from you so that we may spread your love and that your love and light will abound. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. So today's message is taken from John chapter 12, verse 36, and it's entitled Children of Light. So it's really fitting, I think, that we get to look and examine this today. And this idea of light is central to the Gospel of John. You see it all the way through, more than any of the other Gospels. You see, Jesus says he was the light of the world, and he brought that light into our dark world through his teachings, through his example, through his life, through his love. And as he was leaving, he says, "Okay, I'm going, but you are now the light of the world." And even the people that were believing in Jesus, he says, "Hey, I want you to be my children of light as well." So today we're going to look at three things. What is a child of light? When do we become one? And how do we live as one? So first of all, who is a child of light? This would be my smallest point. But really, when Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world," he was able to call them that with such great confidence because they were living lives just like him. Yes, they made mistakes. Yes, they fell short sometimes, but they had decided to follow Jesus. That's why Jesus could confidently say, "You are now the light of the world because you are living and striving to live just like me." So a child of light is someone who lives like Jesus. Okay? Fairly simple first point. I wish all the points were as quick as that. Second point, when do we become a child of light? This is the difficult question, perhaps, in our religious world in which we live in. Cherie and I are doing a spiritual learning lab currently with Robert and Michelle Carrillo. And they are leading us through 16 weeks of a spiritual journey just to draw closer to God. And it is so encouraging. It's amazing. One of the things that we've been called to do is to write a spiritual autobiography. examining where we've seen God at work within our lives from the very earliest memories that we have. And it's been really refreshing, encouraging just to see, and because sometimes we can only focus on the here and now, and we forget that God has been working in our lives for so long, from when we were children. He was drawing him to us, drawing us to him. I know for me, I grew up believing in God. I went to Anglican church. I went to Catholic school. I went to Baptist church. I sang in a choir from when I was six. And when I got to about the age 12, or just before I turned 12, the church that I was going to, Billy Graham was coming to England to do this thing called Mission England. And so the church that I was attending gave us tickets to those who wanted to go and listen to see Billy Graham. So this was him. This was Birmingham, England, 1984. And I went with my mom and a few people from the church. And at the end of his lesson, he invited people to come forward to an altar call. And so something stirred within me. I was 11, about to turn 12 a few weeks after this. And I said, I want to go down. I had no idea what I was going down to. I don't know what I was going to say or what was going to happen. But there was a stirring within my soul to draw closer to God. So I went down and, as I said, I don't know. My mom says that I actually ended up speaking to him. But I don't actually remember that. But it was definitely the beginning of me being aware of God's presence within my life. So my mom still actually has the ticket to this event. And I said, could you tell us where did we sit? And so I looked at the plan of everything and I saw where we roughly sat. And I think this is me and my mom right there. I wore these big old glasses that could reflect the sun and blind astronauts. That's those glasses. I can see them. So I think that was me. Anyway, so that was a beginning, I think, of a real awakening within my life. Of God's presence, being really aware of him for myself for the first time. About 2 years later, being an Anglican, I did my first communion or my confirmation where I confirmed the faith for myself. That was part of the Anglican tradition. A year after that, though, I stopped going to church. For one reason or another, I saw a little bit of hypocrisy. I felt like people weren't really living out their faith for themselves. But I was still going to a Catholic school, so I was still learning about God. And at a parent-teacher's evening one day, you had to learn religious education in the UK, and my RE teacher said to my mom, I think he's going to become a priest. And I was like, you're crazy. There's no way I'm going to be a priest. I had, you know, wanted to get married one day, have kids. I was like, that's out the picture, obviously, if I'm going to be a priest. But I don't think she planted that seed, but she saw something, you know, within my life. Fast forward 5 years, I'm seriously disillusioned by Christianity. You know, I see what it says in the Bible about how you should live, but I'm not seeing anybody live that way. So I decide to become a Muslim. I dabble in Islam for a few years until and in this moment, my mom is so scared that I'm going to become a Muslim that she gets a priest to come and sit down with me and try to persuade me from becoming a Muslim. So I said to him, listen, can you show me people who are truly living out the Bible? He said, I'm sorry, I can't. And then he left. Because I was like, see, this is the reason why. Why would I follow this if no one's really living it out? God was stirring something within my soul, within my heart, within my life. So God thankfully intervened and stopped me from becoming a Muslim. You know the story I've told you, by sending someone who was the most radical Christian that I'd ever met within my life. Just the very person that I needed. He himself had converted from like a Jewish background to Christianity. So every question that I had about Jesus, about the Bible, about Christianity, he could just, turn here, turn there. I was blown away. It's like, this is what I was looking for. I studied the Bible in a week. I got baptized a week later. Then I went to church the next day. I didn't even go to church. Because what I saw was that if this guy and this community that he claims to belong to is really living out the Bible, I'm all in. I am all in. God was clearly working in my life, stirring in my soul. I got baptized, and as the Bible says, I clothed myself with Christ. And this was me as a young Christian in a, I did have hair once. I miss my hair so much. Hey, yeah, nice fade. You see that? I know. Anyway, I need to move on because I'm getting discouraged. But the time between Billy Graham and then my baptism was 11 years. So the question is, when did I become a child of light? Some might argue it was when I first believed. But surely it depends on the type of belief that I had. I remember Mark and Karen's lesson last year about the different types of faith that we have and belief. That was a great lesson. And that's really what we have to try and perhaps consider. So have a look at, we're going to go back to the text that I read earlier. So Jesus says, believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light. So does it say, believe in the light and you will be children of light? It doesn't. It says you may become. Now, some of you are there thinking, well, that's just semantics. You know, you're just nitpicking in the Bible. But this word may become is there for a reason. In grammar, this is known as a subjunctive, and it refers to a hypothetical event, an event that could possibly happen, but isn't guaranteed to happen. And I know that we are not Greek scholars, and neither am I, but it is important that we handle the Word of God correctly, that we strive to understand what the Scriptures truly say, and not just twist and distort them to fit our own theology. So, this phrase, may become, is called an aorist subjunctive, okay? And it is a verb tense within the Greek grammar that describes a potential or a possible future action. So let me give you a few examples that are similar to this. First one, that anyone believing in him might have eternal life. So the Bible says that if you believe in Jesus, you might have eternal life. It doesn't say you will definitely. Next one, but I say these things that you might be saved. Jesus said that. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become, we've looked at that one, children of light. Last one. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. Should stay. Do you see the difference? This is the same grammatical structure in each one of those verses. This is not about semantics. This is about the truth of God's word. Let me give you an example. Imagine you saw this poster. Imagine you saw this. It's a lottery picture poster, and it says, you could become our jackpot winner. Play your numbers now. You could win $2.5 million in our mega prize. You could win millions. So let's say you got all excited and you played your numbers and you didn't win. Would you sue the lottery company? Why? Because it says you could. There's no guarantees that you will. Does that make sense? So when Jesus says you believe and you may be saved, you might gain eternal life, there's no guarantees. Because there is more than just that initial belief that is needed. And I'm going to explain more in a minute. See, the outcome was never definite. Even in this case, the outcome surely was not definite. And it's even a stretch to say that it was probable. But it is possible, it is hypothetical. It's important that we dig deeper so that we don't miss the truth of God's word. So back to the question, when do we become a child of light? For me, at age 11, when I went down to the Billy Graham and whatever happened on the field, I don't know, remember exactly what happened, that was the beginning of my initial belief. Even in some phrases within the Bible, we see this belief, and it even says that it's a passive belief. There's no action involved, it's just an intellectual belief or understanding. That's what I did at that age. That's important, though, because it is the ingredient needed that makes the hypothetical possible at some point down the road. Without that, I won't even ever come to the saving belief. It is the yeast that unleashes the potential for salvation later on. The next one was a personal belief at 13 when I did my first communion when I was confirmed. But this was still a passive belief. I was making a decision that I wanted to truly follow Jesus, but I didn't know how to. I wasn't taught what to do. We had a few classes, but I still left without really knowing what that truly meant. It was a more confirmed belief, but it was still a passive belief for me. And then years passed by, and I eventually got baptized at 23. But let me tell you, at 20, there was no way Jesus would have considered me a child of his. No way, even though I had belief. I don't even want to make this X-rated right now, but I would not have been a disciple of Jesus. I was not. Absolutely. So I wasn't a child of light. Even though I believed and did those two things before, by the way that I was living, I was so far from being like Jesus. I was not a child of light. Did God love me? Absolutely. Was he still at work within my life? Completely. Drawing me closer to him. And what happened was then, by the time I got to age 23, I had an entrusting belief. That's what that word means if you look in the Greek. It's entrusting. It's an active faith. One that says, I give my life to you completely, and I've rejected my old life as well. Not just a mental decision, but an active decision that says, the old is gone. I'm surrendering my life to Jesus, and I'm living this new life. Walking in the light, rejecting the darkness. That's how I think we become a child of light. Now, maybe you're thinking, yeah, but that's not even biblical. Look at this, the conversion of the Philippian jailer. If you want to read this out for yourself, I don't have the time to go through it. Acts chapter 16. The Philippian jailer had an initial belief where he says, what must I do to be saved? Initial belief. Then he gets told the Bible. He gets taught the truth. That becomes a personal belief as he accepts it. Then there's an entrusting belief in the very text we see. They then repent and are baptized into Christ, he and his whole household. We see the same pattern right there. It's just that we have to perhaps sometimes realign our minds with what the Bible actually says rather than what the religious world has tried to help us to understand. Okay, finally, this is where I want to just to land today. How do we live as a child of light? First of all, we need to understand that we are not our own source of light. Okay? We are not our own source of light. Let me give you an example. Consider a light bulb. You see, light is created by a number of different processes. For a light bulb, an electric current is passed through a thin metal filament. It heats up the filament until it glows and produces light. The light bulb itself has no light. It's not able to produce light itself without something passing through electricity. Consider the moon. The moon has no internal source of light itself. What does it do? It reflects the light of the sun. And even the sun itself, light is created deep down within its core, where there's nuclear fusion takes place, and then light is emitted at its surface. It doesn't just glow from the surface by itself. Something is happening deep down within. The same is true for us spiritually. We are not our own source of light. Okay, let's go through some examples. Jesus is our source of light. The reason why we are focusing on Jesus this year is because he is the light of the world. Yes, he says to us, you are now the light of the world, but only because we're plugged into him. First verse. In him, Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus gives that light. 2 Corinthians, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. The Bible says pretty clearly, we are not our source of light. It comes from God. John 8:12. When Jesus spoke to the people again, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We get filled with the light of God, filled with the light of Jesus by walking with Jesus. When we follow him, we are filled with him. This is why the spiritual disciplines that we've been referencing and talking about, they are so integral to us being filled with the light of God. It's impossible for us to shine if we are just relying on our own strength. It's impossible. And if anything, if we do look good, we look good for our glory and not for God's. So let me give you some examples of how we do this spiritually. Let's go back to the light bulb example. By us slowing down and making space for God and for the Holy Spirit within our lives, for him to pass through us and flow through us, we glow through his light. He guides us. He energizes us in the midst of darkness. But we have to make space within our minds, within our busy days, to plug into the Holy Spirit so that he can shine through us. But if we're so busy, if we just quickly flick on the switch and turn it off again, we've got nothing to shine. Because the world is encroaching on us. We hear all these negative things happening all the time. Work can be challenging. Life can be difficult. We need an external source to give us strength, to give us hope, to give us light in our lives. That comes from spending time with the Holy Spirit, listening to him, learning from him, and letting him influence the way that we think and the way that we act. By focusing on Jesus, we get to learn from him. Spending time reflecting on him, what he would do, how he would live if he lived my life. Walking with him as if he was living my life. And then when we do that, we're filled with him and with his light so that we can then reflect him out into the world for his glory. That's hard to do. There's a side of the moon that is not shining because it hasn't positioned itself to the sun. When we don't position ourselves to Jesus, we can't shine. It's difficult to shine, but when we do, we shine. God uses all of these spiritual disciplines, prayer, Bible study, fasting, contemplation, solitude, Sabbath, all of them. He fuses them together so that there's a spiritual reaction taking place in our mind, in our body, in our soul. And from that, his light emanates from us into the world. But remember, this is not our energy that is glowing. It is his. It's like the fruit of the Spirit. These are not characteristics that or qualities that we develop for ourselves. They're called fruit of the Spirit. Not just good morals. Anyone can have those. But these come from the Spirit of God because we are being spiritual. And they can't help but flow out of us if we are spiritual. Spending time with him, goodness will happen. Patience will happen. Kindness will take place. We don't have to force these things out. They will happen naturally because we're spending time spiritually and allowing the Holy Spirit to shape us. I have much more to say on this, but I've run out of time. So, let us end with this. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Once you lived in the dark, but now the Lord has filled you with light. Live
as children who have light. We do have an obligation to the Holy Spirit, to be filled with Him, to listen to Him, to learn from Him, so that we can be more and more like Jesus. So this week, I'd like to give you some homework, okay? So I'd like you to reflect on how you're doing living as a child of light, okay? In Ephesians 5 verse 10, it says, find out how to please the Lord. Like, it puts it back on us. So I'd like you to examine Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17 through chapter 5 verse 20. And within there's some amazing things that God calls us to put off because they belong to the darkness. And there are things in there that He wants us to put on because they belong to the light. And I'd like you to study, just do a couple of lines each day. Ask God to show you what things He would like you to put off, what things He'd like you to put on. Read it, think about it, write it down, pray, surrender it to God. Can we do that together? Amen. But don't let it be a negative experience, okay? This is not for you to beat yourself up spiritually as to all the bad things that you're doing and not doing, okay? If you see things in there that you are doing, give thanks to God. Rejoice in that. Be encouraged because you are a child of light if you're walking with Him already. But if you do see some things in there that kind of prompt you, that spur you on, then embrace those, of course. This is the life that we've been called to live, putting off and putting on so that we can be a child of light. As we take communion together, we see this in Ephesians 5 verse 1. Be imitators of God, therefore, as beloved children, and walk in love. Just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant and sacrificial offering to God. The end goal here is that we learn how to imitate God. That's all that this is about. And the more that we learn to do that, we can't help but shine in this dark world. And it's all possible because of Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we give You thanks. We give You praise for sending Jesus into this very dark world. And we pray, Lord, that we, as we learn to put off the things that are dark, that we will replace them with things that are light, that we, God, will truly emanate Your love, Your goodness, Your Spirit into this world around us. We know, Father, that this world needs You, it needs Jesus, it needs true Christians more than ever before. And we pray, Father, that You will use us to bring people into the light as we strive to live in the light ourselves. Thank You for Jesus' death. Thank You that He was willing to take on all of our personal darkness so that we no longer need to live in it, but we can live in the light. Thank You for Him. It's Your Son's name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.